Hello, everyone. I am Christina. I am a freshly minted Fortnite addict. So this is coming at a good time because I am literally in the throes of my addiction and not getting any sleep. Very excited to talk.
Hello, my name is Jason. I am a Fortnite veteran of about 3 weeks and very excited and experienced in the game.
Let's go for it. So today we're going to be talking about the game Fortnite. We have all played this game together. We've all been playing on computers of some sort. Jason, do you want to reveal what kind of computer you've been playing the game on?
I've been playing on a MacBook with the Touch Bar, the controversial Touch Bar.
I would say we all came to the game kind of late.
I started seeing memes about Fortnite on Instagram, and that's when I started sort of paying attention to it and seeing it crawl the rankings of Twitch to be like one of the more popular games that people were streaming. And then there was that night that Drake started playing, and I was like, okay, I want to check this game out because it feels like it's relevant to pop culture and mainstream right now.
It's true, though.
The fact that Drake brought you in is interesting.
He brought me in too, actually. That's like exactly my timeline as well. Like Fortnite memes, seeing it climb on Twitch, Drake plays on Twitch, and Travis Scott. And I was just like, all right, I get it. I'm going to have to cave. I'm going to have to play, you know?
Maybe it happened to me the same way, but I like to believe it happened differently. I felt like aware of Fortnite for a long time because it was like the other PUBG. And then I just was like, no, I don't like cartoony games. No, I don't think building would be fun. No, I just like was against it for no valid reason. And then I started playing it and it was real hard. And I don't play PUBG anymore. I only play Fortnite now.
I think when I first started playing, I would just freeze up because I had no idea what to do. And I had to have my friends tell me what to do the entire time. And I think a lot of the beginning, since there's no proper system where they teach new players, it's just figuring out that you can actually like hit the space bar to start gliding. That's the first step. And then after that, it's realizing that you're going to die the first 2 seconds, probably anywhere you land. So
yeah, I mean, it's like really, really discouraging, like, because you are not going to win those early fights when you play this game, even if you're like fantastic at sort of like shooter games. There's no way you're just going to win because the battles are very different. And they have, I believe, Jason, you had mentioned this at some point, there's like no practice mode. There's no way to like learn the building, not when you're like really stressed out.
Yeah, and I still sort of do that, like, I can still see that impacting how I play the game because as soon as someone starts shooting at me, I know in my head, I'm like, you got to start building right away. And I just sort of flail around. And like what I end up building is like a jumbled mess. But I think with like the 50v50 game mode that they released last week, that was the first opportunity, I think, for people to practice building because you're not under as much pressure. You can sort of just go off and collect resources and build. So I kind of used a few games there to just see, to sort of get better at building.
Yeah, I think also maybe the PvE version of the game, which is like a paid game, is probably another area where you could practice. But I've dabbled in that and I didn't really have enough like enjoyment from it to like even proceed and spend time over there.
Really? Because that was how I imagined people would learn, or at least that's what Epic thought, because the original game was the co-op, right? Battle Royale was supposed to be in addition to that. And I guess they might have assumed that people were transferring their knowledge from the co-op to the Battle Royale, when actually people are the entry point is Battle Royale. So I feel like even me, when I first started playing, I was like, where is the sandbox mode? I need a practice building. There's no way to do this. And I would actually YouTube videos like, how can I practice building? And they would just say, go ahead and queue in solo mode and then glide over to Wailing Woods and practice like that and hope you don't run into anyone. And I feel like that's not the way you should learn, but it seems like that's the only thing you can honestly do to practice building.
Something else that is interesting about the difficulty of I've heard people say that the game is very easy to pick up, and I really don't understand that. It may look kind of easy because you can watch it and sort of understand what's happening, but I don't think it's easy to pick up. And another thing that doesn't exist, as far as I know, is there's no ranking to the game, right? Like I'm sort of trash at the game. It might be interesting if I was paired against like trashy players in the beginning, you know, to get used to it a little bit more. But there's no ranking model to this game. It's like the very best players could be in your match and there's nothing you can do about it.
Is that, I actually was wondering if that was true because you do have the leveling. And so I kind of assumed since they had leveling that it was impacting the matchmaking somehow, but is that just for the different things that you unlock?
I think it's like the experience leveling is just for the loot system. I don't think it actually has anything to do with the gameplay. I have no way to confirm that, but it doesn't feel like that to me. So this game exists. It is a battle royale game, and there's other battle royale games. What is like novel about this game? And I think my first guess is obviously the building. The building is the thing that brings this game to like a different level than PUBG or something like that. What else is novel about it?
Gosh, I couldn't even tell you. This is actually my first battle royale game, so I feel like the inevitable comparison would be to PUBG. So I feel like you'd be the expert in that area, Charlie.
Yeah, I mean, I started playing Fortnite a month or two ago, and then I just stopped playing PUBG. And yesterday, I actually played PUBG again, and going back to it was really weird because now I have all these new ideas in my head. Like I wanted to get on top of a roof and I was like, oh, I can't just build up to it. And like someone's shooting at me and I can't just build to protect myself. Like the ideas of like Fortnite are actually so like deep in me now that PUBG, where its simplicity used to feel really good, now actually feels like really basic. Like I actually like Fortnite is so much more challenging to me, and like all of the ways I have to think about the encounters that PUBG like is very, very simple and like understandable, and it seems like an older game now.
Yeah, I feel that. I guess the only difference that, I mean, this is from my very cursory knowledge about PUBG, but I was thinking like what the next step could be for them to evolve like the battling in Fortnite a bit. And I remember seeing in PUBG they have vehicles, and I wonder if that would be some random introduction that they're going to have, since it seems like that's what Epic does a lot in terms of iteration. And I was like, do I want vehicles in Fortnite though? I don't know. Like, how have vehicles changed PUBG gameplay?
Yeah, and the thing about in PUBG, the vehicles are necessary because the amount of terrain is significantly further. There's so much more like downtime, so much more running, so much more like space between everybody that the vehicles are useful in sort of like, they're like, they'll give you away, but you can travel a further distance. But in Fortnite, like you can always pretty much make it to the circle if you're not like totally slacking off, right? Like there's no reason like on the current map that they have to need vehicles, because they would just like give you away probably. And I don't know how much fun they would be in that case, but if they make a larger map, that would be like maybe the perfect time to introduce something like that.
Yeah, I guess there's launch pads at least. So I guess
that's kind of a vehicle. Yeah.
One that I keep on forgetting to use and always die with, but you know, it's part of the learning process.
I had one game where we were in the storm and my team kept looking at me. I was playing with random people in squads and they kept talking to me, but I didn't have a mic so I could like figure out what they were saying. And they knew that I had a launch pad in my inventory and I didn't even know I had one. And then we all died like the last second I threw it out, and they're like, well, now he throws it out. Yeah, the other like UI hint that I was excited, I don't think I found this. I think, Charlie, you told me, but the targets when you're pickaxing something and how that helps you bring it down faster. I think I originally thought that was just to show me which thing I was damaging, like which thing I was going to take down. But that was kind of a cool little UI indicator too.
Yeah, that's also not explained at all, right? It's just one of those things you kind of pick up from either experimenting with it or someone else tells you, or you watch a YouTube video.
Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me of when I learned about the turbo building feature. I just remember watching like Ninja stream and going like, how does he build so fast? And even like with the knowledge I have, he's still building insanely fast. But what I was doing was that I would like set up the building and just click it manually to build each one. And then the only way I discovered about turbo building was going through my settings and going like, what's turbo building? So I had to like Google it, and it's something they introduced for consoles originally, but then they applied it to PCs too. So whenever I have someone new playing, I'm like, hey, very important tip, turbo building, please use it I think you were there when I might have learned that, Charlie.
I was, but now actually I never turned it on myself, and now I question, how does it actually work? Do you press like a specific key for like whatever build type you are and it just starts building it, or do you still have to click on the mouse with the like left click?
So you set up the structure, and before you build it, well, you left click to build it, but then you hold your left click down, and then anywhere you look will automatically build it.
So it's like a drag command or something.
Yeah, like a click and drag sort of. Yeah, exactly.
That's cool. Yeah, I should turn that on because I just click and turn, click and turn.
I think it's actually on by default, but people aren't aware of it. But it's a huge, it's like a game changer when you actually learn. So that's why I'm just like, why are these things just not taught to the player somehow when they first play, and they have to just discover it through their friends or YouTube videos or streamers or something like that. That's just something that the more friends I try to bring into Fortnite, the more I realize I'm like, man, they just really need to teach us these things.
Okay, maybe another topic I want to talk about is the like game development cycle. So the game keeps changing. The game came out as kind of like an afterthought to a totally different game. Then it got way popular, and then they've like diverted seemingly all of their resources as a company into developing this game now, which is just a fraction of the real game, and they change it constantly. And week to week, there's like different game modes, obviously, but on top of that, they actually like will change the meta straight up. Like they'll get rid of guided rockets, or they'll add a portafort. Like these are like features that are like totally change the meta of the game, and they're just like totally walling out, just doing whatever they want, introducing them and removing them. I love that.
Me too.
That kind of like the only other game that I've played regularly for in the past couple of years has been League of Legends, and they do a similar thing, but they're definitely not as I don't know, crazy about it as they are in Fortnite, where they're just like, and this is gone, and now it's back, and now this is very different. But I think it's nice because as a new player, you're constantly learning new things. So I don't even really recognize what has changed. Like if they make a small tweak, I sort of just miss it. But as a player who plays a lot, you start to actually see like how things are changing. And I think it keeps you sort of engaged in the game and trying to see like where they're going, like what's new and how that's going to change your play style.
Yeah, I feel like a part of like the reason why they're able to iterate so quickly and make such like meta-changing additions, like weapons and things like that, is because I'm thinking it's because there's a lack of a competitive scene right now. Mm-hmm. And if they ever, I don't know what their plans are, but if they ever do head in that direction, I feel like once they do, they won't be able to be so flexible with what they can introduce in the game.
Yeah, totally. And like also, yeah, there's this weird thing where maybe I like the game of 2 months ago, but the game that exists now, I can't go back to that game of 2 months ago. How do I, these things are very, it's very fluid, and I will wonder how that, how they handle that as the game matures more. A similar type of game where I think it's like a game as a service in a way, like it's a game that should be evolving and stuff, is Destiny, right? So Destiny 2 came out, half a year ago now. The way Bungie releases Destiny is in these huge content drops, right? So it's like a DLC, and it's like, now this should excite you for the next 4 months or whatever. But that model is actually like kind of boring now, like where this like week to week changing thing is what people seem to really be responding to. Like PUBG is doing this as well. Like obviously like other games do this as well, but where the game just keeps evolving and there's new stuff constantly added. That's what I think people really want to stay like as part of an active community around a game these days. It makes me really interested to see if like how these more traditional game release cycles like fit into that, or if they even try to adapt to this new way of like will Call of Duty be like a week to week release cycle type of thing? I somehow doubt it.
Yeah, I feel like they have an advantage. Like, I actually don't know much about the history of Fortnite or even Epic Games. But I feel like you have an advantage if you're like one of these new games who hasn't been around for a while. So you're not used to like the old style of working, or like how you used to do things in like the original Call of Duty or something like that.
Yeah, this is just so much more like software development, right? Like, so you like make an application and it's like in some app stores and like people aren't really using it. So you're like, well, what about this one little feature of it? We'll like make that bigger. And then everyone starts using it. So you're like, okay, let's make the whole app this thing now, right? And that's like what happened with this game. They just sort of like are riding the wave and like feeling the response of what people are going through and just like iterating on the fly. Cool.
It does seem that way. I remember you sharing that interview with one of the designers for the game.
Mm-hmm. And expert mode was the video or whatever. But yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I just remember him saying that before they launched Battle Royale, they were making guesses about how many people would play and they just like went way over than what they were expected. Mm-hmm. And I think for that reason, the fact that they weren't expecting like the popularity of the game probably means they are trying to figure things out as they go. Absolutely. And I feel like because of that, like you said, they're able to kind of just set their own precedent. Like this is like something that a lot of companies have never, like a kind of success that they've ever reached. So they're able to just kind of spearhead all of this. And I do think that the quick iterative approach is super interesting. I just worry that like how sustainable that is, because mm-hmm. I do feel like, for example, Overwatch was a game that compared to other like Blizzard games, for example, was being iterated on pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And they're doing regular events, they're doing regular skin drops, things like that. And for me personally, for Overwatch, I feel like the whole event thing, the skins thing, it's getting kind of stale. But I noticed with Fortnite and with other people, like they're excited for every new skin there is. And I'm just wondering, how is that different per game? Maybe I'm the only one. Maybe it's totally subjective. What about you guys?
I think it's like the hotness of the moment, right? Like Overwatch, maybe a year ago when a new character would come out, everyone would be like super ready for that moment. But then at some point people get used to it and it sort of like, it loses like that mass excitement. And it's sort of just like the enthusiasts that are sticking around, you know? Right now, like Fortnite feels like it's in the prime, the spotlight. And yeah, like a new skin is like something everyone can talk about because everyone's playing the game. And
I think they do an interesting thing too with like the loot and the skins that you can buy in the game is by only making certain ones available at a time. Mm-hmm. So unless I'm like incorrectly looking at the game, but whenever I go to the store, it's like you can only buy like these 8 things right now. So if you really want like a specific skin, it's almost like a nice surprise whenever you come to the store and it's like, oh, here it is. I've been waiting for this. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got one more high level conversation I want to do, and then I want to go like how designers do about some really particular stuff. But here's the high level one. They came out with cross-platform play really fast and also probably more successfully than any other game I've ever seen.
I think in addition to like me just starting to see it everywhere, sort of like on Instagram and Twitter and everything, the cross-platform nature of the game is like one of the reasons I was able to get sucked in. I think I first played it on a phone and I assumed that I was playing against everyone else as a mobile player. And it wasn't until I was reading an online article that I realized that like, no, like this is truly like cross-platform across everything. And that's when I realized I could play it on my Mac, which is great because I don't have a PC, but that enables me to play with my friends who have a PC or an Xbox or PS4. So I'm amazed at how like seamless it all works.
If they didn't roll out cross-platform play, Drake would have never played with Ninja, and then we would have never been playing the game.
Yeah.
It's true. It's so true. Yeah. And I think first of all, it's like really smart that they did that. And I have no idea how they pulled it off. It's amazing. And it just reminded me when I was trying to play with my coworkers, like one of their PCs couldn't work for some reason. So they're like, okay, well, I'm going to switch to my PS4. And then they were able to play with us. And then another one was like, well, my Xbox isn't working. Let me try my phone. But I know there are some restrictions between the cross-platform. I believe like Xbox players can't play with PlayStation.
I like how like this, it seems like if all games were this cross-platform, it could like end like the like console wars or whatever that everyone used to have. It's like, I can play on whatever I want. It doesn't really matter.
Right. I feel like I've listened to years and years and years of like excuses why cross-platform doesn't work. Like PC players can't play with console players because the controller differences with the mouse and keyboard differences, or like mobile players with like PC players. But like, I've played the game with like many different people using many different controllers and it's like, it's fine. It'll work. Like, it's amazing. It's just like crushes every argument that has ever been made.
Yeah, I think this game is good for that too, because even if you're playing with like a mobile player or something and you're on PC, like they might not be doing the best, but there's 100 people in the game and it's so easy to like jump back into a game once you get eliminated that like it's not as costly to have someone on your team who's like not doing well. Mm-hmm. For add a limitation in the platform.
Yeah, and then the fact that the skill cap is so high, if you have at least like one really good person on your team, they can probably carry everyone else, even the person on mobile, which really surprises me. And I feel like that's lacking from a lot of like skill-based slash competitive games. Like in Overwatch, I feel like I can't carry even if I'm the best player. But in Fortnite, I feel like if I just have like that one teammate, I'm just like, okay, carry me. I'm just going to build things and just find loot, and I'll carry all the healing supplies or something like that.
I will be the resources. Speaking of which, that is the perfect segue to the next topic, which is the inventory system. The inventory system is pretty interesting. So once you have five slots of inventory, essentially, of primary inventory, and then like one sort of slot of like stuff you can build. The five inventory slots, as you pick stuff up, will automatically fill up those five slots. But once you get those five slots full, then you have to know which slot you currently have active if you try to pick something up, because it'll swap it out. If you want to change the position of those slots, you can go into sort of like an inventory menu and move them into different positions. So then you can, like, let's say have a weapon in 1, 2, and 3, and then like you're healing in 4 and 5 or whatever. This system, I see like streamers spend a lot of time at it. I spend a lot of time when I'm playing, like organizing my inventory on the fly so that I know where it is, like in a predictable way. I feel like it's actually like a problem. Like I'm thinking about it too much in the game, where it's not like fun to necessarily organize my inventory in the game, but it's necessary that I do. Thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I think the inventory system could use some work. For example, I'm not a fan of the screen taking up a lot of the space on your screen. Like, it feels like a different mode. It kind of takes you out of the experience, which is rather difficult considering you have to be aware of your surroundings at all times. So sometimes I feel like I might have to drop my bandages super quick and I'm like getting shot at the same time, but I have to choose between doing the two. I wish there was a way you can do it on the fly. I'm not really sure why there isn't, but it might be because of the cross-platform parity. Like, I feel like they do that really well, but having like your inventory pop up, I don't even know where that would fit on mobile. So maybe that was a consideration. But either way, like, it'd be nice if they had like designated slots for the types of weapons. So like your one slot will always be an AR. Your number two will always be a shotgun. Mm-hmm. I think that's what probably all of us do. Like, that's how we remember.
Right. If everyone's doing it constantly, and everyone's like basically setting this up like in the same way, like it should probably be part of the game. For example, in PUBG, one more PUBG reference, and then I promise I'll stop. But like in PUBG, like the pistol is always like in the first slot, right? So like if you pick up a pistol, it's in that first slot. End of story. You sort of have like a sensibility, and as you pick up other items, you don't have to be like necessarily organizing them, like especially like health items. Like there's always like a singular key command to get to those health items that you know you have, and I think that's like, it just takes some of the ambiguity out of that, because I get fumbly, right? Like I'm like in a fight and I want to be fighting and like focusing or building or something, but I'm actually like, oh God, do I have the right thing? I just dropped my main gun. Like, what the, you know?
That happens all the time. It's so frustrating. Like when you're caught in the storm, but you just killed someone and you want to switch weapons with them real quick, but then you ended up dropping a wrong one. Like the number of times I've ran out of storm with my teammates and we're like, oh no, we dropped our pump back there. Oh crap. And it's a lot of fumbling. And I don't know how that would be solved necessarily, but designated slots would be definitely one.
I think the one thing that seems easy, like I would love if they sort of automated it for you and like knew that like, okay, ARs always go here, but it really does bother me to one thing Charlie said earlier about like, I have an AR, there's a better AR, and I like pick it up and it like swaps out the wrong gun like that I happen to be holding. I feel like it should be smart enough to know that if my inventory is full, I'm picking up a gun that I already have and like the one I'm picking up is a higher rank, like swap those out. Like that seems like an easy thing to do. And then the other thing I want to point out is like, traps go into the building, there's like these different categories of stuff. There's like weapons, healing stuff, like grenades, I guess, which are part of weapons, and then all the building stuff. And they treat traps differently. Like traps are part of the building materials.
Traps, campfires, and the jump pad all go into that other slot, which is the building slot. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like there is like health would be a obvious place in my mind to have like another, a separate treatment or like an easier way to access that. Cause those are the things that like crowd my weapon space. It's like I land and I get like a potion and I pick that up first and then the gun. And like, I spend like the first like minute of the game, like moving stuff around.
I completely agree.
Yeah. And actually I just learned this in the match I played earlier today. I couldn't figure out how to swap my trap for the jump pad. Since
it's not explained at all, so like you're like whoa, where did the trap go, and you're like
yeah, so apparently since you didn't know, it's you have it about like you're about to build it and then you hit right click and it swaps the two.
Yeah,
or it just like rotates between all of your, I guess, whatever that slot is. So I had no idea.
Yeah, that one was not very obvious. The PC default key bindings are, I think, as far as I can tell from reading the internet and watching YouTube videos, people like don't really like the default key binds. It seems like almost everyone is always searching for a solution of how to make their building easier. I have changed my key bindings. Have you guys changed yours?
When I still played with my keyboard, I changed my key bindings, and then I got an Xbox controller to play through my MacBook, and I don't use the default, controller layout that they have, but they have like a few presets, and I use one called like Builder Pro or something. But I do miss the one thing about playing on a controller is you can't customize everything. Like you can on a keyboard with like the key bindings and stuff. So I feel like a little bit limited.
How is it set up for the controller? I'm just curious.
So there's like the normal, like R's, shoot, everything. And the main difference, like for the building, is I just press B and then I switch into building mode. And then like the left trigger is stairs, the right trigger is wall, right bumper is floor. And so like it's easy to quickly build if you're in that mode. But the thing that keeps messing me up is someone will shoot at me and I like freak out and then I like don't know which mode I'm in. I'm like switching back and forth and I'm like not building and I think I am. But it's kind of a nice system if I'm not under pressure.
It does sound exciting to like be able to access all the builds with like those primary like buttons. That sounds like it would make it easier in some way, but.
Yeah, agreed. I feel like for some reason, I don't know why, I just assumed that the controllers would be more intuitive for console, but on PC, it's just, I don't even know why they chose the F keys for that. Maybe they're trying to force people to come up with their own bindings for it, because that's like probably the most, like the first thing you try to teach anyone when they play this game, like change your key binds for building. Because I tried running with the F keys before when I first started playing, because I couldn't bother trying to figure it out. And I found that I spent more time trying to reach over to the F keys instead of actually like playing the game and building properly. So
yeah, I had to change too. I would like have to look down literally every time I tried to build, and it did not work. It also like discourages you from building then, right? Because you're like, oh god, it's also hard to build on top of it being like confusing to do in the middle of like an encounter.
Do you two have any key bindings on your mouse? I feel like that kind of helped me a little bit with.
Yeah, mine are on my mouse. I actually did try switching it up to the keyboard. Like, there was that website that you shared, Charlie, that had like famous streamers and their set of keybinds. And I saw Myth was doing like ZXC or something for building. So I tried that for a couple of rounds and it was just not working for me. So I've been just sticking to binding them on my actual mouse. And it seems to be pretty effective so far. So
I might, have to move more to the mouse. Right now I have the mouse, the two buttons on the side, one toggles between building and my weapons, and then the other one toggles between the pickaxe and whatever else I had open. And I did that mainly because I was really using that toggle system with the scroll wheel to choose what I was building or using as a weapon for a really long time. But then just this past week I changed, so like Q is the stairs, Z is the floor, and tab is the the wall, and I've been trying to use that more, and I'm like slowly adapting to it. It's good like when you like are falling down a hill and you can just press Z and boom, like immediately throw a floor out underneath you. So I think it's like definitely the way to go. But I think if they were just all on the mouse somehow, I don't know. I don't have that many buttons on my mouse, but if I did, I think it would probably just be better, because like trying to move your character while you remember which key you're supposed to be building with in that same hand, it encourages more of the clusterfuck of like nervous, like chaotic moments.
Yeah, I feel that. I don't have enough buttons on my mouse either, and I notice that a lot of the pro players use like what's that Logitech one, like G something, that has like a million buttons on it. So that's how they're able to get away with it. I personally only have two extra buttons and a mouse wheel, and I don't trust the mouse wheel for any kind of building.
Same.
So yeah, so I basically have my mouse 4 be my wall, and then my mouse 5 be my ramp, and then I have like my C bounce on my floor, and it's working so far. I just don't know what else to bind my floor to. I'm hoping that one day I upgrade my mouse and they're all in the same hand, just for consistency.
Do you switch to weapons with the numbers, or how do you?
Yeah, I use the numbers. Yeah. I feel like that's pretty intuitive, right? That's how they do it in like Counter-Strike and things like that. The quick switching actually throws me off a bit, because I feel like it actually switches to build mode, even though that might have not been your last weapon. Is that correct?
It is. It switches to whatever the last build, like, so when I toggle between them, it's really kind of crazy. It's toggling to whatever I was building last or whatever weapon I had last. So yeah, it's a little tricky, because like you might not remember what you had, and all of a sudden, yeah. The damage UI. So when you connect with someone, like numbers pop up from them. And also those numbers have color to describe whether you're doing damage to their shield or their health. I think it's like a really good system, actually. I find it, like, once I learned that there was a difference between the shield damage and the health damage, and like the fact that there's probably going to be, like, if someone has full shields, like 200 total numbers. I'm not like doing math necessarily on the fly, but I have like a sense of how much damage I'm doing. I don't know. That system could be way more clear if there was just like a bar or something over them when I was shooting them, but yeah, thoughts.
Why is that? Is PUBG like that too? You don't see health bars?
PUBG shows no health bars. In fact, PUBG is a little more obscured, because when you shoot someone PUBG, you will just see blood like splash away from them. So you know you've connected, but you don't know really how well you've connected. This game like actually gives you like some indication of how well you've connected, because the number is higher or lower. And I think it gives you a lot more sense of like how you're doing in a gunfight. Whereas, yeah, PUBG, it's kind of like abstract. Like, I don't know if they're down yet. I don't know how much more I got to shoot them. Like,
I wonder if it's the reason why they don't show enemy health bars might be just like a UI clutter thing, or just a difficulty thing.
I kind of like it just from, I don't know, the strategy of not necessarily knowing exactly how much health the person has. Kind of like what you were saying, Trey, like doing math on the fly, like, you know you did significant damage, but they still might have like 80 health or something like that. Because it just keeps you on your toes. You're not sure if the person's like about to die and you can like easily walk in, or if you need to like keep building and like try and approach it more strategically.
Yeah, I guess actually now that we're saying this stuff out, I'm like, oh, actually, this is a pretty cool decision, because it gives you some amount of feedback to know how you're doing, but you really don't know how much longer the fight is going to go on. So it keeps you tense. Like, it doesn't give you too much information, and therefore it's probably like pretty smart, because it keeps the tension high, and that's probably what they're intending.
Yeah, that could be it. And I mean, there have been so many times where I'm in a one-on-one with someone and I think I'm the one losing because I only have 25 health. And then, and let's just say that they end up killing me. And then on the kill cam, I noticed that they also had 25 health, and I'm just like, no, like, I couldn't just connect one shot, but I was just so nervous because of my own health. So like, it does keep you on your toes like that.
Okay. I'm colorblind, and they have the best colorblind mode in this game that I've ever used of any game ever, because you can choose the type of colorblindness you are first, and then you can also scale how much of it you want, which is really awesome, because normally you turn on a colorblind mode and it's like all the colors are different, and it's like, I'm not super colorblind, but when I turn on a colorblind mode, I normally revert back to the normal mode because I'm like, ugh, this is like, it looks all wrong now. But this game, like I can just throw it up like 10% into the colorblind mode that I want. And then I get enough differentiation of the colors that it works for me, but it doesn't really change the feel of the game too much. Great job. That's all I have to say about that one.
I actually heard that's that cool. Colorblind mode in Overwatch, for example, is actually more of just a filter. Is that right?
I actually don't use it in Overwatch, so I don't know. I think I turned it on in Overwatch once, and I was like disturbed because I felt like everything was the wrong color now, so I just turned it off.
That just reminds me of in League of Legends, I turned colorblind mode on a while ago. I'm not colorblind, but it was easier to differentiate between some things. I think it was mainly the difference between like enemies and allies. And I think they eventually just made like that, brought that colorblind mode style into like the normal UI of the game. So I don't know like what sort of advantages this would give to everybody, but it'd be kind of cool if they were able to bring like the visual preferences to everybody, to the default view.
That's actually super interesting because now that I think of it, I do remember turning on colorblind mode in League 2. And I think one of the main changes as well was, I think the structures or something, it's like usually blue or red. They like kind of desaturate a bit, so it didn't hurt your eyes as much looking at things on the minimap.
Yeah.
That's interesting to know, though. I'm glad they did that.
Yeah, like I don't know how much they adapted it to the normal game, but I know... Yeah, I actually now I'm like, I don't know if I can say it with 100% certainty, because maybe someone's going to listen to this and... state the truth, but yeah, I'm pretty sure they were able to bring at least some of it into the normal view.
Well, if Jason is incorrect, find him on Twitter and let him know. and don't hold back. So yeah, one more thing about the colorblind mode is I don't think they affect the game at all with the colorblind mode. I think it's only UI features. So like the colors of the behind the weapons and the little sort of like the glows of the weapons. I don't think anything with like actual gameplay, like elimination stuff, is actually affected at all. Probably the numbers that pop out of someone when you shoot them. But yeah, across the board, it seems like really targeted colorblind mode too. It's definitely not like just the whole game gets like a filter on the screen. Sound effects. I think that this game was also pretty overwhelming when I started learning it because I'd hear all these noises, but I didn't know what they meant in the beginning. And now that I do know what the noises mean, it's really similar to Overwatch, where it's like, I'm mostly like listening. I'm like listening for events that are occurring. And I feel like the game has like a full system of information that is being delivered just through the sound effects.
Yeah, I definitely overly rely on sound, and it also freaks me out a lot of the time because of that. For example, when I'm like landing in Tilted Towers, you're going to hear footsteps everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's so nerve-wracking. And so sometimes I just freeze in a room and I'm just like, I hear someone above me, I hear someone below me, I'm screwed. But it's just so essential. And I find that I have a hard time trying to communicate with people over voice and listen for sound effects at the same time. I don't know how you guys juggle that, but like sometimes my friends talk so loud or and they're trying to communicate something to me that I'm like, guys, I'm by myself. I'm trying to 1v1 someone. I don't know where they are. Just like be quiet for 2 seconds.
Yeah, I just like turn up the volume louder. It's really silly. I just like make it louder so I can hear everything.
Fair enough. But sometimes it's just like deafeningly loud. Like the gunshots can be so extremely loud that I can't hear my teammates either. So it's like me trying to strike that balance between hearing footsteps and hearing my teammates when there's actual gunfight.
Yeah.
I maybe should have clarified earlier, I'm not great at this game at all, but one of the things that's been frustrating but fun about it is playing with friends, because I like when I played other games, I usually was playing by myself, and so Fortnite is the first game that I've been able to play with my friends who have PCs and everything. But the thing that has been messing up on Discord is there's this bug where if you connect with a Bluetooth headset, which unfortunately is all I have at home, and I keep forgetting to bring like my iPod headphones or iPhone headphones or something. You can't hear the game. All you can hear is the Discord. So if I play with people and I'm on Discord, I can only hear the chat. I can't hear the game sound effects or anything. So it's kind of fun. It's like a funny thing because I definitely realize how important it is when I play solo and I can actually like hear stuff and be like, oh, these are like all these indicators that I've been missing.
Yeah. It's amazing that you play so well, essentially, without sound.
Yeah, seriously.
It's why I like playing squads, because like I can see, at least with four people, I can like see what's happening like to the other people and just react to that.
Okay, next topic. I gave you guys an assignment to try the replay mode. I assume neither of you did this.
No, I did it, actually.
Did you really?
Oh, you're that kind of student, huh, Jason?
Oh, God. Well, you already saw that, like, Charlie had to message me on something else to get me to even confirm the time. I've heard great things.
I actually have an event right now. So apparently there's, like, a video recording contest or something. Mm-hmm. And I have a friend right now that's been using replay mode a lot for that reason. The prizes are like a $4,000 Alienware rig or something like that, or something crazy. And so all he said from it was, it's so hard to control. So what are your thoughts on it?
Exactly the same. I think it's actually really robust. There's a lot of cool stuff in there. And I watched video of it working first and I was like, oh, I'm going to crush this thing. Like, I love replay modes in games. Like, it's like I get to be the cameraman and like make it cinematic. Except it's pretty hard. It's pretty hard to control. I said no more comparisons, but PUBG has a replay mode and the camera in that one is actually very easy to control. And you can just do like the most amazing shots, like on the first try. I think this game, they probably need to work on it more. I think one major issue with this one is, like, in general, the camera in this game is pretty, like, good for third-person game. Like, it doesn't screw up very much. It doesn't go through walls. It zooms into you into first person when it's necessary and doesn't when it's not. It's, like, a good camera. But it's actually so good at being a camera that it's really bad at being a replay camera. Like, because you can't just bust through a wall in the same way. I don't know. It feels off in a way. Maybe it's something to just get used to. But it has a lot of features. So I like the idea of it. I only played with it for like a half hour.
Yeah, I noticed that it had like f-stops and like depth of focus and stuff like that. And I was actually really impressed. I don't know if that's normal in replay modes, but I thought that was really cool. So yeah, it's very robust, but I felt like controlling it was very difficult.
Yeah.
On the upside, I do appreciate being able to, like, they auto store all of it. Mm-hmm. And like going back and seeing why you died, that is a very useful feature to me. Because like, sometimes like I'm playing, I lose track of my enemy, they come out of nowhere and they kill me.
Right.
And I just don't know what happened. So now this time I can actually see, like, oh, John Wick like outbuilt me like crazy and then jump pad behind me and killed me or something like that, you know?
Yeah. And you can like go see it from their angle too. Like you can like learn from it.
I think they used this last night in like the Ninja Twitch event in Las Vegas. And it was awesome because usually whenever I watch like the good pro streamers, I can see them building something, but I actually can't comprehend what they're actually making. And so they had this cool view where you could see these two people battling and the two structures getting put up. So I can, see, to Christina's point, I could see it being a really useful way to learn how to get better or, see how you died.
So do you think they're actually using the replay mode as like a spectator mode as well then?
Yesterday they did not during the Ninja Las Vegas thing. They literally took the computers and then made the replays after the games. But I imagine that this mode is like a half step to the full like spectator mode, which should probably be coming, I would assume, before they make this game an actual competitive game.
Oh, that would be amazing. Because there's so many times where like I just want to get a quick bite, eat some nachos or whatever before I start playing. And I want to watch my friends play mm-hmm. for a quick second. I felt like that. I did that a lot, actually, when I played League of Legends, and that was fun to me. So I'll be very excited for that.
I'm excited for you just briefly touched on it, but I'm excited to see how this becomes competitive and like what this does for like how it performs as an esport. Because I think the audience is obviously there, but the having 100 people compete like feels a little hectic. So it'll be cool to see how it turns out.
Yeah, agreed. I was just thinking about them. Like, would they make it competitive, like 1v1 competitive squads, like duos? Because I see a lot of top streamers usually run duos. So I'm wondering, like, if they'll cap it at like X, like 10 teams of two or something like that. Like, I don't know. And the thing is that it's going to change the game so much when that happens as well. Like, they might start balancing around duos or around squads. Like, who knows? So they're definitely going to run into that balancing issue that a lot of other games run into when they try to go and be competitive. So,
yeah, last night in the Ninja Las Vegas thing, they had about 75 people or so, like, per round, which I thought was pretty interesting that they weren't fully going to 100. I don't know if it was totally intentional or if it was a move they made to keep the games a little quicker or less hectic. I don't know, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this game evolves into what is playable in a very competitive way. It was also interesting last night to watch Ninja like have to be competitive and play totally differently. Like, when he plays on stream, he's like crazy and like just going for totally exciting plays. But when you start to play this game really competitively, you do have to be really defensive sometimes or like really strategic. And it'll be interesting to see if it is as fun to watch if it becomes like a strategic sort of game as it is when people are just playing for like shits and giggles.
I think that's the thing that, so back to League of Legends, just when you watch, they have the people who are being the camera people, but there's always like action going on somewhere. In League of Legends, not as much as Fortnite, but I'm sure it can be entertaining if they're not just zooming in on Ninja sitting in a tower for 5 minutes, but like they can bounce around and like see what other people are doing.
Totally. Yeah, I think that's what it was suffering from last night, which is like there was times where Ninja was just like, okay, I'm going to hang out here for a second. And because there's no spectator mode, there was like, okay, we're all going to watch this now.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we did it. I think we should go play the game right now as a celebration of completing this podcast. Do we agree?
Yeah.
I agree.
I would like to thank you, Christina and Jason, for doing this with me. And if you have any questions for us or you want to tell us what we said that was wrong, you can message us on Twitter. I'll put all of our links and stuff in the bio. And thank you for listening to this episode.